You will find a scripture reading this morning in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, and we'll start reading at the first verse. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That is, that they might come and anoint the Lord Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And we'll end our reading at that verse. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy holy word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. Quick and powerful it is, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have asked thy blessing upon the reading of it publicly. And Lord, we feel the need to do that. We believe it's very important to have the public reading of thy word in the assembly of thy people or anywhere. But O God, we long for thee to come now and help us in the preaching of it and in the hearing of the message from that word. And to this end, grant the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what a difference he'll make. He has inspired the scriptures. He has authored the word of God. No one knows it like him. And so we pray that he will guide us into all truth. And grant the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God now. And as it was in the home of Cornelius long ago when Peter was preaching, may it be so here. May the Holy Ghost fall upon all them that hear the word. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's an interesting subject for meditating upon. If we were to take the characters, the various characters that we come across involved in the occasion of the death and resurrection of Christ, especially his resurrection. For instance, the chief priests and elders, whenever they heard that the tomb had been vacated and that the Lord Jesus Christ had left the tomb was empty. For instance, way back in another account in Matthew chapter 28, where we have another account of the resurrection narrative, let me just read these words to you from verse 11. And you see the wretchedness of these people. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city." The watch were the people that were guarding the tomb. "Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." Can you imagine how the watch felt whenever there was that earthquake? They came all as dead men. And then they rallied, made their way into the city. And you can imagine the consternation of the priests, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And so they concocted a plan. And we are told that that plan was that they would give the soldiers money and bribe them and say, "Listen, just say his disciples came and stole the body. Oh, how low they sank, how wretched they became. But what an impact the resurrection of Christ made upon them. Pilate, whenever Joseph of Arimathea went to desire the body, Pilate marveled that he had died so quickly. That was something for him to think about. And then whenever he heard that he had risen again, you can well imagine how he felt. What about his disciples, called the 11 here? Well, we are told that they did not believe. We didn't read the reading, but in verse 11 of Mark 16, they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Here we have unbelieving believers. These were Christian people, but they took some convincing. And the Lord later in this chapter had to stand in their midst and rebuke them. He upbraided them because of their unbelief. And there are times he has to rebuke us believers because of our unbelief in his love and power and willingness to help us out whenever we are in abject circumstances. Well, there is a group of people here made up of a few women, and we read about them in Mark 16 verses 1 to 8. And it's these ladies that I want to talk to you about for the remainder of our service just now. And again, it's an interesting study to see the prominence of the ladies in the birth and ministry and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there is his mother Mary, there was Mary and Martha, there was Mary Magdalene, there was Joanna, who was the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, there were the daughters of Jerusalem, and now we have these ladies mentioned, and oh, what a bright light they are in the darkness of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this passage we read then. And there are a few things I want you to notice about these ladies that are of great importance. First of all, there is the devotion that they expressed. We have that in Mark 16, verses 1 to 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. What devotion you have. I want you to see how it's expressed. First of all, it's expressed in the task that they wished to perform. These ladies were ladies in sorrow. They were heartbroken. And yet, in their heartbroken condition, they wanted to do something to show their love for him. They were willing to go to the tomb. Now we're told it was yet dark in another gospel narrative. And if you put all the narratives together, you'll see that it was just about dark, giving way to dawn. And as we read here in verse 2, the end of verse 2, at the rising of the sun. But at any rate, it was very early. They were willing to go to the tomb at that particular time of the day. Why? Because their hearts were there. But they were not going to go there empty-handed. They had bought, not just brought, but bought spices. They went out and got those spices and bought them. And their purpose was, their task was, to go and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter to them the cost. It didn't matter to them how dark it was whenever they set out. It did not matter to them that Jerusalem had an unusually large population because it was the Passover season. Whenever the people came from all parts of the country to converge there to keep that feast, they had to do that. And there were people probably who could not get accommodation, and they were anywhere they could find a place to lie. So it was very dangerous for these particular ladies. And yet, despite the difficulty, they were willing to show their dedication and love and devotion. How is it with us, ladies and gentlemen, especially those of us who profess the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to knock ourselves about a bit in order to show our love, our devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing, for any cost that there may be? Are we willing for any inconvenience or even danger that could possibly arise? We could learn well from these ladies, not only the task that they wish to perform, but the time that they set out to do it, very early in the morning. Now, we read in the Word of God that people rose early in the morning. We read that Abraham took Isaac, rose early in the morning to go to the land where the Lord was going to show them where Isaac had to be offered up. And we know that the Lord Jesus rose up a great while before day. And these ladies now are willing to do the same. And I want to say to you, my dear friend, it's important for us to show our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When there's a cost involved, when there's inconvenience involved, and if the time is not suitable to us. Let's learn from these dear souls the devotion that these ladies expressed. Do you remember the writing in the Song of Solomon? Many waters cannot quench love. Love is like a vehement flame. So let's check that our love will compare favorably with these ladies who on that morning, unknown to them, it was a resurrection morning, unknown to them yet, they went out to show their devotion, their affection, their love for their master. So that's the first thing. But notice in the second place, not only the devotion that they expressed, but the discovery that they made. I think this is tremendous. I want you to notice that in verses 3 right down to verse 6. I want you to notice, first of all, a problem had been solved for them. Notice what they said in verse 3. They said among themselves, just try to put yourselves as an eavesdropper, or maybe walking along the road with them. You've gone to their home, you've seen them getting together in their heartbreak to show their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're walking along the road carrying the spices, and they're saying, that stone, that great stone, as the Bible calls it, who's going to roll that away for us? How are we going to get anointing the body of Jesus if that stone's there? So there was a problem in their mind. How could it be removed? But that did not deter them from going there. They might have said, oh, we're so silly. We should have brought Peter with us, or John or James with us. What are we doing? We're not thinking. But they didn't. Even though there was a difficulty, they went on anyhow. And my dear friend, if you're going through a difficulty in your Christian experience now, and you're thinking of throwing in the towel, don't do that. Go on. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Go on. Keep going on. The great stone blocking the entrance of the tomb did not prevent these ladies going through with what they wanted to do. So the big question was, how can it be removed? It didn't deter them. They got to the tomb and they saw that it had been miraculously removed. Notice the wording, verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. A problem had been solved. And it is true that what had appeared to them to be a problem was not a problem at all. And let me add this. Even though you might foresee a problem, keep going on. And when you get there, the problem may not be just as huge as you thought it was. In fact, it may not even be a problem at all. There was a problem solved. And then there was a plan overruled. What was their plan? Their plan was to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ But they never got to do that. Notice verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. A young man, a heavenly being here, an angel, a young man. And he says to them, notice verse 6, he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. The angels know the people who seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a seeker of the Lord, my dear friend? Do you seek him in prayer day by day? The angels recognize you. I wonder, is there a man or a woman or a girl or a boy here and you're not a Christian yet, but you've been thinking about being saved? In fact, you're seeking for more light. Let me tell you, the angels know that you're seeking. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if any man wills to do, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God. I want to tell you that. And if you're willing to accept the light that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you, namely that we're all sinners, and because of that we're on our way to hell, we're going to suffer everlasting separation from God. If you know that, but know also that there's one way of salvation, and that's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wrought on the cross at Calvary. If you know that, and if you know that if you turn from your sin and trust him as your Savior, you'll be saved. If you know that and do that, trust him as your Savior, then you'll be saved as well. And you can become a seeker after the Lord Jesus in another manner, namely seeking him in prayer day by day. You'll be well known of the angels then too. This plan had been overruled. He came to deal with a corpse, but the corpse wasn't there, and instead they found a young man, an angel. The one that they believed to be dead was now alive. The angel said, he's not here, he's risen, he has vacated the tomb. And this anointing that they had planned to engage in, they had the spices that they bought, but there was no use for them now. The Lord Jesus Christ was not here. God can overrule our plans and our good intentions for his glory. And God often accepts the will for the deed. And if you had something in your heart that you wanted to do for the Lord, and you were going to do it, but circumstances turned out to be such that you couldn't do that, God knows what your heart was like, and he accepts the willingness of your heart for the actual gift or deed that you wanted to do as an act of your devotion. What a discovery they made. A problem had been solved. A plan had been overruled. But something else, a place had been transformed. It was the place of death, now of life, a place where there was the display of the mighty power of God. Oh, if you read these resurrection narratives and see the one leaves out something that the other includes, the other adds something that the others leave out, and you get a wonderful picture by taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and seeing what has been included in the resurrection. The Bible tells us that in that empty tomb that morning, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the raising of Christ from the dead. The apostles go out and they say in their preaching, God raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I lay it down of myself and I take it up again of myself. He raised himself. And we read in a couple of places in the Bible that it was the Spirit of God who was involved in the raising of Christ from the dead. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were together in that tomb and raised the Son of God from the dead. Oh, my dear friend, what a discovery. That place of darkness and dreariness and death has been transformed. What a work. And there we see the young angel messenger, even there at his resurrection. We read of them with regard to the death, announcing the death, or prophesying of it, predicting it, bringing the message that was going to happen. And then whenever the Savior was born, the angels appeared to the shepherds. We see the angels ministering to him whenever he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the early part of his ministry. We see the angel coming into the Garden of Gethsemane and helping him there. We see the angels involved in his resurrection, the angels involved in his ascension, and the angels will accompany him when he comes back to earth again, both to bring his loved ones home to himself and to destroy the ungodly, the ministry of angels. And this is the message of the Easter season. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and that forever, he can transform your circumstances. He can give you everlasting life. And whenever death comes and the resurrection takes place, that body that has been molding in the grave, he will fashion like unto his glorious body. What a transformation the resurrection of Christ brought. And what a transformation will take place in our bodies, because his resurrection is the pledge of ours. What a discovery. You can see the devotion they expressed, the discovery they made. And then I want you to notice, lastly, the directive that they received. This young messenger wasn't finished with them yet. Notice verse 6. He saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was risen, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. What a sight that is, to see the place where the Lord lay. But here's what he says to them in verse 7. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. The Lord had told them that he was going to rise, but they couldn't take it in. And so in verse 8, they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Notice very quickly the truths to note here. There are several truths to note. First, the messengers of the resurrection. This is a message to be proclaimed, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the message that was proclaimed throughout the book of Acts. And in revival, the death and resurrection of Christ comes to the fore. Let that come to the fore in our ministry, whether it's in children's work, youth work, old people's work, whatever. In the preaching of this pulpit, the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus are fundamentals that must not be ignored or omitted. And those first messengers were women. And ladies, there's a work for you to do, not to be ministers, not to be elders, not to be deacons, but you can teach the young, you can teach the ladies, you can even be an evangelist. Do the work that God wants you to do. Let me say this, whenever they brought the message, the people who heard them weren't elated. You would have thought that the apostles would have been delighted at hearing this. But the Bible tells us they were skeptical. Notice verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. In fact, in another place, we are told that the word seemed to be as idle tales. And yet the Lord Jesus had told those disciples at different times that he would rise again. Oh, how unbelieving we can become. But irrespective, let us bring the word of God. Whatever God has commissioned us to do by way of getting that message out, let us do it, irrespective of the consequences. That's a truth to be noted. But notice something else. There's the tenderness to note. Notice what that message was in verse 7. Go your way, this young angelic messenger says to these ladies. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Oh, is that not tremendous? Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him. Why Peter? Was it because Peter was supreme among the apostles, later to become the Pope? Not a bit of it. Was it because he was a special favorite of Christ, one in whom Christ confided and relied? Not so. Was there some merit on Peter's part? No, rather it was grace on Christ's part. And here's the answer why the word of God says through these angels, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Would you just turn back to chapter 14 of Mark and notice this, verse 27. This is the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the disciples what they were going to do in the hour of the Savior's great need. Mark 14, verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spoke the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said the Lord. So Peter is determined. He's not going to deny the Lord. And he's arguing with the Lord when the Lord says, I tell you that you will. He argues the more vehemently with the Savior and says, I'll not. But look what happened. Notice verse 50. They all forsook him and fled, Peter included. But Peter came back again, along with John. And we learn something about this. Notice verse 53. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Yes, Peter was brave enough to a degree. I have to give him that. But then a wee girl came to him and said, you're one of those Galileans. You were with him. And he began to deny the matter. Notice at verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He said he wouldn't deny. The Savior said he would. Peter said he wouldn't. But Peter did deny. Verse 69. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. That's the second time. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And Luke tells us, he went out and wept bitterly. What a disaster for Peter. He realized just what a fool and how wicked his own heart was. He was truly heartbroken. What a period he put in between the death and resurrection of Christ
And now this message was sent with these ladies. Go and tell his disciples that he rose from the dead. And Peter. Single out Peter. Not because of the greatness of Peter, but because of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. To go after that man who had let him down in such a way. Oh, my dear friend, am I speaking to somebody here who has let the Lord down? And you're heartbroken about it, and you feel it's all up, the Lord will never bother with you again. Take heart from this. The Lord wants you to know that he has compassion upon you. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And the door is open for us to go in. And Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And my dear unconverted friend, this holds good for you too. You feel perhaps you have sinned so vilely, so wickedly. There's a terrible defilement and contamination and uncleanness about your life. With the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son can cleanse you from all sin. And I want you to know, there's no need for you to be despondent. If you will only turn from your sin, confess it to Christ, trust him to deal with it, he'll save you. This is the message of Easter. This is the message of the atoning death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine those ladies that set out with the uncertainty, with the darkness and disappointment in their heart. They reached the tomb, and what a discovery they made. What a directive they received. Can you imagine the joy with which they went back, mingled with awe and fear, but the joy that was in their hearts, the risen Christ, he's not here, he is risen. And they went and they told the glad message to those despondent disciples. Men and women and young people, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and he has the keys to death and hell. He lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able and willing to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Will you come to him today if you haven't trusted him as your Savior yet? And rejoice in this great message and this great salvation he gives and this great person that the Lord Jesus Christ is. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love thee, and we thank thee for all what thou hast done for us when you died on the cross at Calvary and rose again. Thank you for saving many of us here. Thank you for pardoning us whenever we fail thee as Christians, and for having compassion and mercy. Lord, we praise you for that. Pray that others in the service will come to see this too, who are not yet saved, that no matter how bad they feel themselves to be, no matter how wretched or wicked, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And may they come and trust thee as their Savior today, even now, and experience life everlasting. We ask this of thee in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.